want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. In the lesson, I have a lot of things I want to say. Just be patient with me. I don't want to keep you later than usual, and I'll try to get through this, but I want you to pay real close attention. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Find verse number 5, if you will. We've been talking about the subject of helping people. This will be lesson number 20 on the subject of helping people. What are things that we do, can do, in regard to helping people? 1 Samuel chapter 18. Tonight, the subject is this: helping people by controlling our jealousy. Helping people by controlling our jealousy. Stand with me, if you will, please. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to start with verse number 5. The Bible says this: David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. Women answered one another as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what could he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. That last verse there, it says, Saul eyed David from that day forward. It's a very important part of the lesson tonight. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us to learn something that will help us to be happier in life. But not only that, help us to learn something so we don't hurt people, but that we help people. Help me, Father, tonight to concentrate on the lesson. My mind is busy and active this evening in a special way. Help me to lock in to what you have directed me to say. Might I say it in such a way that it's easy to understand? And God, then may lots of people be helped because we control our jealousy. But most of all, God, may you be helped by our good behavior. Bless us now with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I take off teaching, I'm going to talk about the subject of jealousy. Might I say that the Bible talks about God being jealous, but you have to understand something. God is holy. God is perfect. There is no misbehavior. There is no issue at all. If God is something, he does it right. The problem is, you and I, we don't do it right. And that's where the issue comes. This evening, I want to speak on maybe one of the biggest church splitters in the world. This issue of jealousy really hurts churches. Maybe one of the most destructive sins in regard to the destruction of people and their relationships. Jealousy causes heartache and sadness and depression. Jealousy will break homes up and ruin dreams, and it derails people's lives. Have you ever heard anyone use the term, it's a green-eyed monster? Jealousy, the green-eyed monster. Now, let me tell you something about what we just read. David had killed Goliath. Saul was the king at that time. Saul was used to getting all the attention. He and his family were used to receiving all the public accolades. Saul had received all the adoration from the people in town. Until now, Saul was the war hero. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else in town. Of course, he's the king. But now, there comes on the scene a new young hero. There's a fellow that named David, and he just comes from a battle having defeated Goliath. And when David's coming into town, the people have lined the streets like a ticker tape parade. The hero's coming into town. The people are lining the streets to welcome David, who just defeated Goliath. And David quickly becomes, like overnight, a national hero. the women that were there, they began to sing. They were singing a song, and they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands." Of course, Saul was a warrior, and Saul loved it. The king heard them sing that, and Saul desired that attention, and Saul held his head high. And he threw his shoulders back and held his head up. He loved that praise and that power and the affection of the people. So they started singing the song, "Saul has slain his thousands." But wait a minute. There was a second stanza to that song. And Saul hated the second verse. He cringed when he heard it, because they first sang, "Saul has slain his thousands," and Saul said, "Yeah, that's me." And then they went to the second verse, and they sang, "And David hath slain his tens of thousands." Oh, well, Saul didn't go for that so much. That didn't sound like a good verse to be singing, and Saul's reaction to David's success brought the birth of jealousy in Saul's life. Jealousy. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:9, that verse that I pointed out to you, it says, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Say, what's it talking about? He set his eye on him, and his eye was connected to the jealousy in his heart. And that monster called jealousy, it hides in your heart. Now, nobody can see it in there. But I believe that somehow Saul's eyes showed that jealousy. If the right person were looking at Saul when he glanced at David, you could tell by looking at Saul that Saul was ticked off at David because of David's success and the people praising David when Saul wanted that praise. Let me ask you something. God uses the term here in 1 Samuel 18:9 that Saul eyed David. Are you eyeing someone tonight? Have you set your eye on someone and you've let jealousy get into your heart in regard to that someone? Who has received some attention that you wanted? Now, is your eye of jealousy fixed upon them? Who is singing and it bothers you? Who gets more acclaim than you? Hey, who's that one that maybe they're a better Sunday school teacher than you, and it's affecting you? Is there somebody bus captains, be careful. But watch how you treat those other bus captains. Who is maybe better at teaching a Sunday school class, or at captaining a bus route, or who's a better athlete? Oh, my. Young people can get so caught up in there's someone that's a better athlete than they are, and they become jealous of that person. Who's a better Christian? Who's a better mother or a better father or student? Who is it that's getting lifted up a little bit, and as a result of it, that thing called jealousy has gotten into your heart, and it's going to affect your relationship with that person and probably many other people? You understand that Saul's jealousy over David did not just affect Saul. But it ended up affecting everybody that got anywhere around Saul. Saul's decisions became corrupt and evil and destructive. Hey, what young lady is lovelier than you? What young man is more talented than you? Saul's eyes burned with the fire of jealousy's rage. Jealousy's poisonous venom now flows in the veins of Saul the king. Like a boa constrictor, jealousy had coiled itself on his emotions and was squeezing the success right out of Saul himself. Folks, jealousy brings destruction. It brings hurt. It brings pain. It brings sorrow. It brings remorse. It brings regret. Jealousy will hurt you. Jealousy will hurt the people around you. Jealousy, it may hurt the person that you have directed the jealousy toward. The Bible says Saul eyed David. Jealousy is truly the enemy of success. It leaves behind a trail of heartache and heartbreak. You can see stories of jealousy throughout the Bible. You can trace jealousy all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel did right. Cain did his own thing. Jealousy enters the heart of Cain. Cain's jealousy overtakes him, and he goes down in history as the first murderer because he was jealous of his brother. Cain's jealousy was over Abel's righteousness. Abel was a better Christian than Cain, and Cain got jealous over it, and Cain eyed Abel. Hey, is there somebody that lives better than you, and as a result of it, you have virtually developed a jealousy toward them? I've watched poorer living people go after a good living person out of jealousy. Out of jealousy. Jealousy can be found in the catastrophe of the story of Korah and Moses in the Bible. Moses was God's chosen leader for the children of Israel. Korah and a few men wanted influence and power in the congregation. Jealousy enters Korah's life and shows itself through his tongue. He actually made this statement. He said, "Moses, you take too much upon you." He badmouths Moses as a result of his jealousy. And I thought this, the only mouth bigger at that time was the mouth that of the earth when it opened up and swallowed Korah and 14,000 rebels that were influenced by his jealousy. But Korah eyed Moses. Hey, what was that? Korah was jealous over Moses' position. Does someone have a position in the church and you've become jealous? Hey, as the church grows, folks, let me tell you something. This business of getting jealous because people get appointed positions in the church, you'll ruin yourself that way. You will flat out ruin yourself that way. Jealousy can even be found in that story of Joseph and his brothers in the Old Testament. Joseph's daddy loved him dearly. He had many brothers, but they were jealous. Matter of fact, they were jealous of Joseph's relationship with his dad. Jealousy infected his brothers' hearts like bacteria can infect a wound. They take Joseph and cast him into a pit. They actually sold him into slavery, went home and told Dad that he'd been slain by a wild beast. Now, it was a lie, yet it was true. They'd been slain by a wild beast, a wild beast of jealousy, the green-eyed monster. Joseph's brothers eyed Joseph. In other words, his brothers would keep an eye on Joseph, and they just let Joseph bother them. Are you jealous over someone's position? Are you jealous over someone's relationship? I watched my daughter deal with a really rough situation for some time. She probably doesn't even know how much I know. My daughter and I have always had a pretty close relationship. I watched a young lady that was virtually angry with my daughter because that young lady did not have a relationship with her dad at all. But my daughter and I were very, very close, and that young lady was virtually jealous of my daughter's relationship with me. We turned her nose up every chance she'd get around my daughter. Once I finally figured it all out, we discovered that was a problem. That's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. Jealousy is a nasty thing. Are you jealous of someone's relationships? It was jealousy that caused the strife between Jacob and Esau over a birthright. That's power and money. It is jealousy that struck the 22 fatal wounds into Julius Caesar when he was alive. Jealousy provided a javelin into the hands of Saul when he tried to kill David. Why in the world was Saul trying to kill David with a spear? Jealousy. Jealousy drove a wedge between the two great preachers in history called Wesley and Whitfield. Jealousy corrupted the friendship between Barnabas and Paul. Did you know that Leonardo da Vinci and his admiration for Michelangelo was destroyed out of jealousy? Jealousy is a major contributor to the downfall of Napoleon. Do you have your eyes on somebody? I'd run from it, flee from it, retreat from it, avoid it. Don't drink the bitter cup of jealousy. Watch out, Sunday school teacher. Watch out, athlete. Watch out, deacon. Watch out, deacon's wife. Watch out, insecure Christian. Watch out, bus worker. A church that is growing, of course, then you have to get people involved in leadership. You have to get people involved in certain things. Boy, it is such a sensitive thing. I pick someone to lead something and somebody's turning their nose up about it. And what was it? They wanted to do that. They wanted to do that. And they got left out. Listen, just so you all know, as a leader of the church, not trying to hurt anybody, just trying to get the job done. wasn't trying to hurt you. Well, I didn't have a meeting and say, I'm not going to pick him. I'm not going to pick her. No, just tried to ask the Lord to help us to lead and to get it done right. And you know something? If you were for the success of the church, you wouldn't be so caught up in your own personal little feelings and your own little world anyway. Hey, listen, jealousy produces hatred and criticism and envy and slander and gossip and disloyalty. Proverbs 6:34 says, jealousy is the rage of a man. Better watch out. Jealousy will bring a temper out in you, bring out something in you where you'll get angry and hateful. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6 says, jealousy is cruel as the grave. That's dark and lonely. Jealousy is a result of someone else's success and maybe your lack of it, and that's the hard part about it. Somebody got something you didn't, and you can't stand the fact that they're getting what you're not getting. You know how self-centered that is? It is self-centered, so you all know. All right. Now stay with me. Let me show you something. I want to talk about jealousy for a while tonight. Churches won't be strong, won't stay strong if jealousy is among their members. Those of you that have joined this church in the last 18 months or so since I became pastor, you better watch your heart that you don't find yourself being jealous. There's a core of people that were here before I got here. And sometimes I turn to them, and there are certain connections that we have because they were here when I got here. You better be careful, though, if you're new in this church, being jealous about people been here longer than you. But might I say, those of you that have been here a long time, it may be that some new people come along and they get some opportunity in the church. If you're not careful, you'll be walking around saying something stupid like this. Well, he just picks those new people. You're a fool if you say that. You're a fool and you're disloyal to your pastor if you go around saying things like that, because that's not true. I try to treat people justly and fairly, and that kind of stuff causes division in a church, and that kind of stuff will hurt people. And what it does, it'll stymie a revival, and it'll keep people from wanting to even come around. Boy, we're all just trying to serve God and get the job done. It's not a competition. That's not what it's all about. It's just to get the job done. Let me say, first of all, everybody is tempted by the sin of jealousy. All leaders are tempted by it. All followers, the strong, the weak, the successful, the not so successful. Men get jealous. Women get jealous. Teenagers get jealous. Children get jealous. Feelings and the emotions, and I might say this, some of the signs of jealousy, be careful now, that feeling of being inferior, that insecurity, that I'm being left out. Now listen, nobody is trying to leave anybody out. Now there's some things people don't qualify to do, but someone says, well, I want to get more involved. I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, soul winning. Now you can get involved. There's a lot that, but you watch out that inferior, insecure, I'm being left out, they're trying to hurt me, what's going on here? I hope to God that none of us lead with the intent of hurting somebody else. That's not the plan. But I'm just telling you, everybody can be tempted by jealousy. Secondly, you can be jealous and you can hide it for a little while, but not long term. Not long term. Jealousy has its way of creeping out of you. Ezekiel 8:3 says, "Where was the seat of the image of It says, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy?" The Bible talks about jealousy it's in a certain place. The prophet Ezekiel had a vision, and God provided it to him, and God told him this. He said, dig a hole in a wall of the temple. He looks into that hole, and he sees a door. He reaches through and opens that door, and inside that door is what God called the chambers of his imagery. That's the place where we imagine things. Jealousy is found in that imagination pocket inside you. That's where you and I hide our evil or our bad thoughts. Everybody's got a little place in your mind where you hide your evil or your bad thoughts. I might not be able to see it. You might not be able to see mine, but everybody's got that spot. Now, I want to tell you something. You better be careful what you entertain in your imagination in the privacy of your mind. There are people in this room, I don't know who you are, There's somebody in this room, a crowd this size, there's got to be somebody here that's jealous about something. Some teenager's been jealous with someone at school for weeks now. There's somebody in the church that's jealous with somebody in the church. Now, I don't know who you are, and maybe nobody else knows who you are, but I'm going to tell you, if that's inside you, that's a very dangerous thing to have in there. You say, I got it tucked away. It's safe in there. Well, it's not staying tucked away. It's not staying tucked away. What is your true reason for your dislike for someone? Are you jealous over their success? Are you having a hard time dealing with maybe their superiority? Are you trying to hide your true problem? Some people say, well, I don't like them. Well, a lot of times you don't like people because they have some opportunity that you want. Nobody knows your real problem is jealousy, but I'm telling you, sooner or later, jealousy will catch up to you. Men, your wife doesn't see that private chamber of your mind. And ladies, your husband does not see that private chamber of your mind. Your boss doesn't see it. Young people, I realize your parents can't see what's going on in your brain. But if you have jealousy in there towards someone, that'll ruin you. That'll hurt you. That'll mess you up. And you won't hide from it forever. That green-eyed monster called jealousy came out in the life of Saul. We're talking about it again tonight. It came out in the life of Cain. You understand, when Abel did what Abel did, then Cain did what Cain did. I'm sure Cain at first said, I don't want my parents to know how I feel about Abel, and I'll hide this. You may think you're hiding it, but Cain ends up killing Abel. Saul tries to kill David. If you're in this room and you're jealous, you can call it what you want, but jealousy is what God calls it. If you're jealous, you may think that, well, nobody knows. No, there's somebody that probably knows. It's already crept out. But Joseph's brothers, their jealousy is still being talked about today. Korah, he couldn't hide it. And dozens of others. I would just say this. That thing we call the green-eyed monster called jealousy, I wouldn't be feeding the monster. I wouldn't feed the monster. It'll unleash its power on you. So, anybody and everybody will be tempted by jealousy from time to time. You can only hide it for a little while. Thirdly, jealousy is probably the result of what we call comparison. Comparison. Let me read a couple of verses, or a verse to you. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Listen, jealousy is a result of you comparing yourself to someone else. Say, well, what's safe here, preacher? Compare yourself to Jesus. Or better yet, compare the you of today to the you of yesterday. That'll grow you. But look, here's what we've got to do in the church. You do what God wants you to do, and just don't worry about everybody else. You be what God wants you to be, and don't worry about everybody else. You accomplish what God wants you to accomplish, and leave everybody else alone. Do you grieve at the success of others? Are you sour when others succeed? Are you hurt when other people achieve? Folks, I'll never understand those that want to pull someone else down to try to make themselves look taller. That to me is just one of the lowest behaviors. There are so many people that have to try to pull someone else down because they want to be lifted up themselves. Look, God made us for each one of us for a special purpose. Find that purpose, fulfill that purpose, and stop comparing yourself to everybody else. If you spend your time comparing you to other people, well, they get to do this, or they get to do that, or you're going to find yourself jealous. And jealousy is a sin. It's a bad sin. Number four, you say, well, what do I do? Well, learn to truly be happy when other people succeed. Learn to be happy when other people succeed. And don't be phony at this. truly be happy when someone succeeds. That, you know something? Every bus captain ought to want the other bus captains to succeed and their routes to grow. If you want his bus route to grow, that'll help you. You know, every Sunday school teacher ought to want everybody else's Sunday school classes to grow. Do you know, if you are playing on a basketball team, and I've been around athletics enough, boys can get a jealousy about them. Some kid's a high point, you know, maybe a guard, and he's high point guard on a basketball team. You got other kids that just can't stand him. Cash can't stand him. Not because of his personality, but he's outscoring him. Now look, if you got a guy that's scoring 25 points on your basketball team, it might be a good idea that you're pleased that he's on your team. Want someone to score points. Want her to get good grades. You ever? I watched in school, and I've been involved in the field of education for years. I've watched kids that are good students virtually be teased and mocked in school because they got good grades. Now that does not make sense. Why would anyone want somebody else to fail? Other than the fact that they're a sinner and they've got a bad attitude and someone's studying hard or working hard and maybe outshining you. You know, if you'd spend as much time increasing yourself as you try to spend decreasing the other guy, you might succeed a little bit more. Hey, now you say, that's right. Those teenagers ought to get right with God. Well, why don't you be pleased when somebody else gets a raise at work? There are people in this room. You are jealous of somebody at work. Jealousy is a sin. In my realm, I go places and I preach places. And sometimes I'm the only preacher, but often there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people preaching. You know what I need to do? Every place I go, I ought to want everybody to preach a sermon that just hits that baseball out of the park. I should never sit there and say, I hope this guy lays an egg. I'm going to preach after him. It'll make me look better. You say, well, preacher, that's only common sense. Well, it's just as much common sense for you to want someone around you to succeed. I want that guy's church to succeed. You ought to be glad. Get this. You ought to be glad she got some new clothes. You know, I've watched women, not like a woman, because a woman got some new clothes, and you didn't get any. So why should she have to give up her new clothes because you didn't get any? How is that fair in life? That's stingy. That's self-centered. That's hateful. That's immature. Look, you ought to be glad she's marrying a good-looking guy. Most women get stuck with an ugly creep. Stop being stingy and want the people around you to succeed. If everybody in the church wants everybody else to succeed, you're helping people and you're helping yourself. Want that man to be happily married. Want that woman to be happily married. You know, women who cannot be happily married will attack women who are happily married just because that woman has something she doesn't. I'll criticize her why I can't have what she has or I don't have what she has. The thought that you would want someone's marriage to fail because yours is not successful is stupid. That's immature. It's just a sad thing that this thing called jealousy, boy, there are parents in here tell you, brothers and sisters get jealous of each other. People in churches get jealous of each other. People at work get jealous of each other. We all ought to be glad when somebody else does well and be glad when somebody else succeeds and be glad when someone else has a victory. You know, if somebody else having a victory, you know who gave it to them? It was God. You think God's an idiot? So, I said this. I said, let me get back there to it and I'll tell you what I said. I said, number one, everybody, all ages, both genders, everybody, struggles with jealousy from time to time. I said, secondly, jealousy will be hidden for a while, but it'll surface and it'll be seen eventually. Thirdly, jealousy is a result of comparison. We're comparing ourselves to others, what we have to what they have. Fourth, if you want to help yourself with jealousy, learn to truly be happy for others who have and succeed. Number five, stop competing with people on your own team and start realizing it is Satan who we oppose. Stop competing with people on your own team and start realizing it is Satan who is our opponent. So if there's somebody in this building that's jealous, I don't know it. So if you say you're getting me, it might be God that's getting you. But what I'm telling you is this, folks, if we want to keep the revival spirit that we have going, each time we grow, each time we develop more ministries and there's more opportunity, let me warn you, then there is more opportunity for jealousy. There's more opportunity for competition and offense. So all church members are on the same team. I like pepperoni, Marcus. Now listen, we are all to be for one another. That's how it's supposed to be. This point is, stop competing with people on your own team and start realizing it is Satan who is our opponent. You know, it's the devil that's your enemy, not that other teenager in the youth department. It is the devil that's your enemy, not that other Sunday school teacher. It's your devil that's the enemy, not that workmate. It's your devil that's the enemy, not that other deacon. It's your devil that's your enemy, not that other bus captain. It's a devil that's your enemy. Hey, not that other person that sings in the choir. It's a devil that's your enemy. Keep your eye on the real enemy. But the devil, he tries to get us to be enemies with each other. He wants to break up the family. You know, I'm not in competition with anybody in this room. You're not to be in competition with anybody in this room. Oh, we have some fun and we do some things that are fun. But boy, if you ever let that competition get to the point where there's hurt feelings and there's bitterness and anger, you've just let it go too far. We're not competing with one another in regard to Christianity. You're to be the very best Christian that you can be. And the best Christian that I can be is not, you're not exactly where I am, and I'm not exactly where you are, but you better be the best Christian you can, and I better be the best Christian I can, and I'm not going to spend my time comparing myself to you, and I wouldn't spend your time comparing yourself to me. I better compare myself to Jesus, or I better compare me to my own potential, but you'll get jealous if you go around comparing yourself to other people. I want to do what God wants me to do. You know something? I don't want your house. There are people in this room. You're virtually upset with somebody in our church because you've seen their house. What right is that of yours? Mind your own business. Take care of yours. I don't want your house. I don't want your wife. I had one. That's enough for any man. I don't want your wife, and my wife knows. I don't want any woman on the face of this earth but her. You ought not want anybody's wife but your own, or anybody's husband but your own. I don't want your car. I don't want your influence. I had someone ask me this recently. They said, Brother Owens, a couple big churches in America, if that church came available, would you take it? You know what I told him? I said, I have zero interest in any church in America. Zero. Tell them not to call me. I'm satisfied with the church that I have. I made a conscious choice to come to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I want to die here. A couple of you would like to see that happen, you know, somewhere immediately here. But no. If one of those churches called me and said, are you interested? I'm going to tell them I'm not interested. Not interested. I am not jealous over. I'm not jealous over any evangelist in America. I'm not jealous over any other pastor. I like what I do. I love my church. This is where I want to be. I'm in God's will. Say, but what about? I don't spend all my time thinking about the what about. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm just. You know what? I think I'll just go ahead and enjoy it. Folks, be careful Jealousy will ruin you. You want somebody else's, you want somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, somebody else's job, somebody else's house. You want somebody else's situation because you just don't like yours. You know who you're slapping in the face? God. God. I'm almost finished. Let me give you one more point. Jealousy is a result of dissatisfaction. Jealousy is the result of dissatisfaction. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." People who are dissatisfied with what they have and with what they are, then compare it to what others have, and then you have that monster called jealousy that pops up. Folks, be satisfied with what God's given you. I want to recommend to everybody here, be satisfied with your house. Be satisfied with your car. Be satisfied with your nose. Be satisfied with your job, your position, your ability, your voice. I'm not telling you to get lazy and not try to improve yourself, but I'm saying there's some people that you're just dissatisfied all the time. If it's not one thing, it's another. It's all day long. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. You change subjects, but you're just a dissatisfied person. It's not a matter of the issue. It's a matter of you. You are a dissatisfied person. You're impossible to satisfy. It doesn't matter what they do. Now, if you're like that, you're going to end up jealous in life. You're going to always be wanting something else that somebody else has. And maybe it's not even a person. It is a scenario. I just wish I had that. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. What happened to the God that gave you what you have? You'd not be jealous if you were satisfied with what you have. Do you know everybody here? You could choose today to want what you have. If you would want what you have, you could be happy with what you have. That's your choice. Satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. So I'm just dissatisfied. Then the problem is you. You know, you say, well, if I had their house, can I tell you something? They don't want their house. You say, but if I had their house, I'd be satisfied with their house. They have their house and they want somebody else's. The house does not satisfy. The character and the thankfulness and the gratefulness of the individual is where satisfaction is found. Don't take your dissatisfaction in yourself out on other people. See, your dissatisfaction is what causes you to get jealous. Because you wouldn't be jealous if you just be happy with what you have. To me, our dissatisfaction is a slap in the face of God. Jealousy probably finds its roots in covetousness. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. If we would not want what somebody else has, we'd not find ourselves jealous over them, their accomplishments, their accolades. So, Saul said, "Hey, sing about me. I've slain my thousands." They came to the second verse. "But David has slain his tens of thousands." Saul said, "I don't like it." Next thing you know, he's chasing David all over the country. Started out in his mind, hardly anybody knew, began to slip out. Before long, he's got armies chasing him. "What are you after David for?" He's not going to admit. God actually ends up taking the kingdom away from Saul. You'll lose if your covetousness and your dissatisfaction leads to jealousy. Plus, I think it's a slap in the face of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Tonight, we can help people if we'll control our jealousy. We can help ourselves if we'll control our jealousy. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. I'm not saying that we should be satisfied and not improve ourselves. I think you ought to improve yourself. got to be striving for excellence in your life. But this business of never being satisfied, you never get enough, never get enough, never get enough, never get what you want, never have it your way. Always somebody else has what you want. That's wrong. That's wrong. Increase yourself, but be satisfied with what gives you, God gives you. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Young people, are you jealous of someone at school? Is there some young lady there that maybe is prettier than you, a young man that's a better athlete than you, somebody that gets better grades than you, somebody has a better house than you, a better car than you, you think they have a better husband than you or a better wife than you? You're jealous of them because of a talent that they have developed. Oh, Brother Owens, you didn't give me a Sunday school class. I've been mad at you ever since. I am sorry, but I'm going to tell you, if you've gotten jealous and bitter about it, I guess I bypassed you and didn't even realize I was doing the right thing. Didn't even realize it. You might be in it for the wrong reason. Are you in it to prove yourself to everybody at the church? You want to prove yourself? Prove yourself to Jesus. Prove yourself to God. He knows where you are. Brothers and sisters, get jealous of one another. A brother gets something that the sister did not, and before long, there's tension there. If you have a brother or sister, and they get something good in life, why don't you just be glad they got something good? Somebody gets a raise at work, why don't you just thank God they got a raise? Wow, somebody got a little boost in their pay. Instead of getting bitter and then planning your attack and getting angry, then you can avoid them in the hallway, and you can turn your nose up at them and they try to talk to you and you snub them. Why? You're jealous and it's a sin. We can help a lot of people if we'll control these weaknesses in our spiritual life. Ushers, if you'll get the prayer sheet ready, we need to get them distributed to anybody that might need them. This is the last time through the song.